Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Very fitting introduction into our sermon this morning, our study on Sabbath rest. And by the way, that crackling was not our system earlier. That was user failure. My batteries were dead. So system's good. Pastor, not so much. Okay. Genesis, the firm foundation of the church. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and in 6 days He formed and filled them perfectly for His glory. God saw all that He had made, and it was good. It was good. Then came the pinnacle of creation, man made in God's own image. He gave us that rational capacity, that moral capacity to know Him and to love Him and to rule over His creation. He's given us that privilege. We are Yahweh reflectors, right? We reflect His image so that the world might come to know Him. And today, in an abbreviated sermon, you wanted to hear those words, abbreviated sermon, we'll do our best this morning. We're going to investigate the events of the seventh day. We are crazy busy. Have you ever made that statement before? I am crazy, or we are crazy busy. It's interesting how time always seems to sneak its way into our conversations. I didn't realize this, but the most common English noun is the word time. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Don't fact check me now on your phone. Fact check me after the service, right? Time, the most used noun in the English language. Very interesting there. It used to be that to take off an afternoon and to go out and play golf, to take off the week and go on a family vacation, that used to be a sign of success. But there's a new study from Harvard that says this: Americans increasingly perceive busy and overworked people as having high status. Well, how did they come to that determination? They had 100 participants, asked them to read a fictional letter from a friend named Daniel. Okay, in one of the versions of the letter, he complained about being crazy busy and never having time to watch sports on TV. Maybe you can empathize with that. The other version, he talked about being relaxed and often having time to watch sports on television. Get this, participants ranked crazy busy Daniel more than twice as high in social status than they ranked relaxed Daniel. The study also pointed out several ads that reflect those values, one of them being from Rolex. That Rolex ad made this statement. It said, "Checking his watch costs Bill Gates $300 per second." Doesn't cost Dan thing $300 per second, but checking his watch costs Bill Gates $300 per second. What's your time worth? And you can see the focus of our culture today. Researchers concluded, social status is no longer based on scarce resources, the possession of them, like jewelry or cars. Instead, nowadays, we are the scarce resource, right? Our time is the scarce resource. Busyness at work and lack of rest equate to high social status. Kind of sad, isn't it? That's the cultural perspective on work, the cultural perspective on rest, but what is the biblical perspective on work and rest? I want to go ahead and try to tackle that question this morning. The timeless principle of our text this morning, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, the timeless principle is this: Sabbath rest is a gift from God. It truly is. Sabbath rest is a gift from God. Now, before we jump into our text, we understand what we mean by Sabbath. What does that word Sabbath mean? The Hebrew word from which the word Sabbath comes appears twice in our text this morning, and it means to cease from work or to rest. To cease from work or to rest. That's the idea behind the Sabbath. So with that in mind, I want to define the Sabbath in two ways this morning in our time remaining. First, Sabbath rest means recuperation. Sabbath rest means recuperation. Biblical creationism, we've talked a lot about that in these first few weeks. Biblical creationism says God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them in 6 days. Okay, we've kind of beat away at that here in the first few weeks of our study. So, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Genesis chapter 1, Moses chose the most effective words to present that truth. And we talked about this. The Hebrew word day, when it's joined with a numeric adjective like the first day, or the second day, or the third day, every time it always refers to a literal 24-hour period of time. The Israelites, the Jews, they reckoned a day from sunset to sunset. So what do we read all throughout Genesis chapter 1? And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the second day, so on and so forth. And we talked about there being a work day, which is followed by evening, right? Implying rest. It's evening rest that prepares us for the next morning, that next day of work. So after 6 work days, there is also a weekly rest. So think about God. Before the foundation of the universe, before He ever created man to tend to the garden, in His infinite wisdom, He created the world in 6 days. Why did He do that? To give us a pattern, to give us a model for our day of rest. So Sabbath rest, a gift from God. Look with me at our text in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. So 4 times there, we see that the Bible speaks of God finishing or completing His work. 3 times it says He completed, He did this with all of His work. So He finished or completed all of His work. There's a couple of Hebrew words for work. One Hebrew word is for unskilled labor. The other Hebrew word is for skilled labor. Right? You can guess which one is used of God in creating the universe. It is the Hebrew word for skilled labor. The skilled labor performed by an artisan or craftsman. We think about Elohim. He is the supreme craftsman. He is the premier artisan creating the heavens and the earth. It was exceedingly good. The heavens declared the glory of God. The earth was perfectly formed and filled. Then we read very, very plainly in chapter 2, these first few verses, God did not work on the seventh day. Does God grow weary? Of course not. He's God. He's infinite in power. God never grows weary. Everything He created was spoken into existence out of nothing, and it was absolutely effortless for Him. He never grows tired. He didn't grow tired after all of His creative works over the 6 days. His rest was the rest of finished work. A rest of finished work. We also need to understand, as many people are teaching today, that God did not step away from creation, right? And just let a bunch of processes happen. No, God took His position at the helm of creation as its captain, right? God is guiding. God is performing in His creation, even up to this very day. Jesus said that. You might remember in our series, Unprecedented. Jesus said, the Father is always at His work to this very day. What's God doing? God's sustaining the universe. God's holding all things together. God's providing for His people, providing for us, the church, right up to this very day. So then why does the Bible say that on the seventh day God rested from all His work? It says that because God was establishing a pattern. God was giving us a model to show us the importance of recuperation. We need that. I read an article in UCLA Health. It was intriguing to me because I love baseball. The World Series, I guess, just ended last night. Unfortunately, the Houston Astros are the champions this year. But the World Series is over. But in this article, orthopedic surgeon Christopher Jones highlighted the increase in ulnar collateral ligament injuries among youth baseball players. What's that ligament? It's the ligament on the inside of your elbow. And the reconstruction of that ligament is known as Tommy John surgery. Some of you may have heard that before. That's named after the professional pitcher who underwent the first surgery, went by that name, Tommy John, back in 1974. Those injuries have become extremely prevalent today, so much so that it's called an epidemic, even among youth, especially among major league pitchers, that Tommy John surgery's happening all the time. So what's the problem? The problem, according to this doctor and many other doctors, is lack of rest. Lack of rest. There's a new trend in youth sports. Some of us have fallen prey to it. It's called specialization. And what that is that's intensive year-round training in one sport. We're seeing that more and more, aren't we? Back in the day, I'm the old guy that says that now. Back in my day, right, you played a variety of sports. You played soccer or football in the fall, wrestling or basketball in the winter months, and then you would play golf or baseball in the spring. So we saw a lot of variety in sports. Not so much so today. There's sports specialization. So you got young athletes focused solely on baseball, consistently throwing all year long, putting stress on that ligament in the elbow. Listen to what Dr. Jones wrote. There is a clear correlation between training volume and intensity and injury risk. The ligaments gradually begin to fail. What's the answer? Listen to what Jones says. Limiting overall weekly and yearly sports participation time, staying away from repetitive movement, and providing scheduled periods of rest. Right? There's our word for the day. Why am I talking about baseball? That's what you're thinking. Why are you wasting my time with baseball? This article holds true to recuperation in sports, but doesn't the same hold true for work? For our work week, God has graciously provided scheduled periods of rest. It's interesting, this comes right on the heels of being created in the image of God. One way we reflect God, one way we're more like Him, is by following His pattern, doing what He desires, following His command, His modeling for us. That's one way we become more like Him. He made that clear. He instituted the Sabbath. He instituted it under the law of Moses. Look on the screen, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The word holy there means setting it apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, see, pointing back to creation, the seas and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God set apart 1 day of rest from 6 days of work. That's what creation says. That's what the law of Moses is saying. God's infinite. He doesn't get tired. We already said that. We're finite, aren't we? We get tired. Our bodies grow weary. Our minds grow weary, especially in my line of work. The mind grows weary often. Our hearts grow weary too, don't they? Day after day, week after week, going about our business. Wisdom of the day says what? I'll rest when I'm dead. Okay? My challenge to you is if you don't follow God's pattern, that day may come sooner than later. Not a threat, just a warning to you this morning. There are consequences for not listening to God's perfect wisdom, right? Think about the consequences. We've all been there. We may be there this morning. Anxiety, stress, insomnia, anger, depression, substance abuse. Beyond all of that, what about our relationships? Overworking is detrimental to our relationships with God. our relationship with our spouse and our children, our relationship with each other, the church, when we allow other things like work to take first place. Life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon, right? We got to find that pace that will help us to finish our race well to the glory of God. So God desires we rest. We would do well to listen to Him, to listen to that infinite wisdom and set aside one day of rest from 6 days of work. So Sabbath rest means recuperation. Second this morning, Sabbath rest means refreshment. So it's not just a gift for physical recuperation, it's also a gracious gift from God for spiritual refreshment in our lives. Under the law of Moses, the Sabbath, which was the seventh day of the week, which was Saturday, that became a special day among the Jews devoted to worship of Yahweh. It was a weekly reminder that God created the heavens and the earth, all that is in them, in 6 days. Deuteronomy 5 talks about it also being a reminder of God's power in delivering His people from slavery in Egypt. So it was a remembrance of God's mighty power in creation and in His deliverance. But don't miss this. Sabbath rest was a type. Okay, it was a type. It was symbolic of true rest that would come in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to how Paul explains it. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, notice the last one, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Right? So, Sabbath rest finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in relationship with Him. That's how we enter Sabbath rest. So, go back to creation for a moment, because that's our context. That's the context of the law as well, concerning the Sabbath under the law of Moses. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. God rested on the seventh day. Adam and Eve rested in Him, didn't they? They experienced the fullest sense of rest there in perfect relationship with God. That is, until they believed Satan's lie and they ate of the forbidden fruit and they were separated from God and they became what? They became restless. They became restless, separated from their Creator. And that's been our condition, apart from God, right up to this very day. But just as Jesus is able to restore the image of God in man, He is also able to restore our rest. We can go from restless to restful in Christ. So His work of creation was finished, and it was very good. But there was still, very shortly, the work of redemption that would come, that Christ would accomplish. After Jesus bore our sins in His body on the cross, what did He cry out? He cried out, "It is finished," right? Sounds familiar from Genesis chapter 1. The Father looked at the perfect sacrifice of His Son and He was satisfied. In the eyes of God the Father, it was very good, right? It is finished. And that work of redemption was very good. Jesus breathed His last, was placed in Joseph's tomb, but at the dawning of the first day of the week, up from the grave He arose, as we sing, right, with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He is risen indeed, seated on the throne in heaven. He is Lord of creation. He is Lord of the Sabbath. After He created the universe, He rested. After He accomplished redemption, He rested. I hope you see that correlation there between creation and redemption. When the stone was rolled away from the tomb, Jesus walked out victorious. True Sabbath rest had come. True Sabbath rest had arrived. That's why Jesus says this, Matthew 11 and verse 28. He invites us, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Remember,
Rest carries the idea of ceasing from work. I challenge you this morning, if this is what you're doing, stop trying to perform for God. Stop trying to earn God's favor through your own self-righteous deed. Simply rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Stop performing. Stop working. Rest in Jesus. Right? Jesus performed perfectly for you. He did everything. His death and resurrection, He did it all perfectly well. He did that so you could simply come to Him. Simply trust in that finished work on your behalf and simply rest. Experience true rest in Christ. Fast forward, under the new covenant, that's us, that's the church, right? God set apart the first day of the week, Sunday, Resurrection Day, as our special day of worship as the church. Nowhere in the New Testament is Sunday referred to as the Sabbath. It's also interesting, you look at the New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, all 10 commandments are repeated, except for one. And that one is the Sabbath. It's not repeated in the New Testament. So then, how does Sabbath relate to the church? You're wondering that? How does Sabbath rest relate to the church? Should we have a weekly day of rest? Yes, most certainly. You should have a weekly day of rest. God modeled that for us in creation. We would do well to follow that model. Should we have a weekly day of worship? Glad you're here this morning. Yes, the answer is yes. Certainly we should gather as God's people on Sunday as the early church did on Resurrection Day. Going back to our other study, Unprecedented. Jesus was confronting the legalists, right? The Pharisees. They added all of these minute, burdensome details to the law, to God's law, especially the law of the Sabbath, right? These were men's traditions, not God's law. And Jesus intentionally, if you recall, healed on the Sabbath day so that His grace might confront their legalism. He did it over and over and over again. As we keep that in our minds here, you need to understand Christianity is not defined by a set of rules. Are there commands to obey? Certainly there are. But Christianity is freedom. It's not a set of rules. We are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I getting at? We shouldn't have to be commanded. We shouldn't have to be coerced to worship. Right? We worship in spirit. What does that mean? That means we worship willingly from the depths of our heart in great joyful, exceeding joy and gratitude toward God for who He is and what He's done. And we worship in truth. We worship Him as He is known to us in the Scriptures, the only source of truth. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Singing theologically rich songs from a spirit-filled heart always brings glory to God. Surrendering your life in response to the truth of God's Word always brings glory to Him. We might understand this a little better by comparing the Sabbath and Veterans Day. Going out on a limb here, stick with me. Veterans Day, a legal holiday, a legal federal holiday, observed annually on November 11th. A very special day set aside to honor our veterans who deserve to be honored. Federal offices will be closed this week, won't they? They will be closed on Friday. Better get your federal work done ahead of Friday this week. So that defines what we do not do, but it doesn't define what we do. Okay, how do we honor veterans? How should a person honor a veteran? Well, we did a little bit this morning. We showed a video. We expressed our public appreciation as the church. And we offered a prayer for our veterans. That's one way we did it. Later this week, you might go to a memorial service. You might go to a parade. Maybe you'll go visit a VA hospital, or maybe you have a neighbor who's a veteran and you'll clean up some leaves, right? These are ways that we might honor our veterans. So John Walton, scholar, he says this: taking the day off is a society response. But what is the personal response? The more a day means to a person, the more deliberate he or she will be about scheduling appropriate activities. The more gratitude a person has for veterans, the more effort he or she will put forth in planning ways to honor them. So here's the correlation. The same holds true for the Sabbath or under the New Covenant, the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day. It's not as much about what we do not do as it is about what we do. The more Sunday means to a person, the more deliberate he or she will be about scheduling appropriate activities. The more gratitude a person has for God and for Christ, the more effort he or she will put forth into planning ways to honor Him. I hope you're making that connection here this morning. Sunday worship is not about us. It's not about us at all. It's all about Him. He's the one who's worthy of worship. It's not designed to meet our needs. It's not about receiving anything. It's about giving. It's designed so that we might worship God. And Sunday is not a passive day of rest. Right? Don't go veg out. Don't come here and veg out in the pew. Stay awake, especially during the sermon. But don't be vegging out on Sunday, right? It is an active day of worship, not a passive day of rest. We're doing it today. We're preaching and praying and praising and serving together to the glory of God. An active day for Him. And we also need to understand, it's not just Sunday, is it? Jesus brings the refreshment of the Sabbath, the seventh day. He brings that to every single day of the week. Worship isn't about Sunday. Worship is a lifestyle as we continually offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. It's a gracious gift, rest. It is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We experience immediate rest when we trust in Him for salvation. We experience ongoing, continual rest as we meditate on His Word, as we share our hearts with Him in prayer. That's all throughout our Christian life. And then there's the eternal rest that we're all looking forward to. The fullest sense of rest. Paradise will be restored. On that day, we will rest from all of our burdens. We'll forever be in the presence of the Lord. He Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No more death or mourning or crying or pain. Just rest, eternal rest there. And not passive rest. Active worship and service throughout all eternity. Just as we do as we gather on Sundays. As we sing to Him, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and glory and praise." So Sabbath rest, it is a gift. I hope you view it that way. Hope that's your perspective on work and rest today. It is a gracious gift from God. It means physical recuperation. We need that one day a week as we follow God's pattern in creation. It means spiritual refreshment on the Lord's Day as we worship and as we serve our Creator and our Redeemer. So let me leave you with these thoughts, or this thought this morning. I encourage you to regularly unwind the spring. We need that, right? One day a week, unwind the spring. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to gather together as Your people. We give You the praise, honor, and glory for how You've financially blessed us as a church. We rejoice in that. We thank You for that this morning. We thank You for our event this past week, where the gospel went out into our community. We thank You this morning for our veterans who so willingly served so that we could enjoy this time, this hour together this morning. We thank You for our vote. We ask that Your will would be done in worship ministry here at Johnston Chapel. God, we thank You for the pattern You've set forth for us in creation. Forgive us for our foolishness, of overworking, of negatively impacting our relationship with You and our families in our church. Help us to take advantage of the rest that You've offered to us. Help us to take that time and unwind the spring. And Father, thank You for a day where You can be the absolute center of everything. I hope this day has been that, that You've been at the center of our attention. Our hearts have been devoted to You in worship because You are worthy. Help us to sing now in spirit and in truth. Help this place to always be a place where Your Word is plainly proclaimed, that all attention, all glory would go to You from Johnston Chapel. God bless the rest of our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, if you've never experienced true rest in Christ, we'll give you that opportunity right now as we lift up our voices to the King of Kings. Pastor Jim is here. Pastor James to my left. They'd love to talk with you about how you can know the rest that only Christ can bring. If you're struggling, if you're overworked, stressed, depressed, you just want to come before the Lord, come to the altar and have someone pray with you or pray alone, please respond as the Lord leads you this morning.